Monday, August 1st, the work of the day was a 10 o'clock meeting about the library. Max Brooks and Gordon Bunshaft, Horace Busby, and Mr. Drexler, and Dorothy Dorito, Juanita was still in the hospital. We sat in my board of directors room, the unhappy Andrew Johnson's cabinet room. I've grown quite fond of it. It's seen the start of a lot of projects with me, and a deal of their hammering through. The meeting lasted 4.5 hours. I had briefed myself for it the night before with a notebook full of material from Buzz, memos that had passed between him and Drexler, a long personal one from him, and the observations of a University of Texas student on the library. He's a member of our winning College Bowl team and is spending the summer as an intern in Buzz's office. The whole subject was exhibits. How do we tell the story of the decades and the man? What will the student, the tourist, see when they come into the Lyndon Johnson Library? Linda came in and sat with us briefly. I want her to become grounded in this, absorbed in it. It was necessary for us to agree on an outline today of the things we wanted to say. Mr. Drexler had brought a proposed outline. History, what the United States was like during the decades in which the president worked in it, the president and the people, gift objects, temporary exhibitions, especially being on a campus, it must be kept relevant and up to date. Orientation, it seemed nebulous and barely a skeleton to me. And yet a time schedule, a review and preliminary script, and a review of script, and design concept, and then the final design next March. Buzz had elaborated on this, and to my thinking had gone much more into depth with more understanding. I am not sure we are on the right track in our choice of an exhibits man, and it concerns me, and I am incapable of judging. Actually, we are racing against time. If the bids are let in October, the library may be completed in the fall of 69 or in the early winter of 70. And exhibits must keep pace with, must be planned hand in glove with, the architecture of the building. We drank innumerable cups of coffee. Dorothy took notes and occasionally phoned Juanita in the hospital. And once, when I went out into the hall, I glimpsed the Tuesday luncheon meeting at the West End. Rusk and Mac George Bundy and Nitzy for McNamara, who's away on a vacation, God bless him, and George Christian. I'd ordered sandwiches and cookies and more coffee for about 12 o'clock, and it was approaching 2:30 when we broke up. Mm-hmm. Each of us had had some amplification or clarification of Drexler's ideas to make, and I was reasonably reassured that we were making a start. Drexler and Buzz were to spend the rest of the afternoon working further on their script, and then in 2 weeks they would get down to it in earnest, after Buzz has finished a vacation. Next, I took Dorothy and Dr. Grover out onto the balcony, and we talked about responses to our letters. The friends and government officials, they're already coming in, many of them dull and unilluminating. One of them a jewel from O.J. Weber, with two illustrations of the way Lyndon had treated him as an employee. And they were dear and precious, spoke across the years. I talked with Mr. Bunshaft, also out on the balcony, about Mary Lasker's proposal for two fountains that would frame the view to the Thomas Jefferson Memorial. He looked at me askance, like I was trying to be an architect, and said, "Really, you have to think about it as a part of the whole, and there's a drawing for the whole, and I see that you get it, and we'll have to see how that fits in." He all but patted me on the head and said, "There, there, little lady." I tried to convince him that I was all in favor of an overall plan, but I was also in favor, when we had an eager donor, of finding an aesthetic and happy and quick use to put their gift to, not just freeze them out. I spent the afternoon working at my desk and with Ashton and calling Francis Lewin, whose father had just died, and going down to the state dining room to look at the new drapes. They are beautiful. When Lennon woke up from his nap, I said, "Let's go swimming." He quickly assented, and I had 30 laps. He went to his office, and I went over to the EOB to bowl with Wari, a really rotten game, and then back upstairs to work. I often wonder what happens to my desk, to my correspondence, to my infinite little problems when I have a solid day full of appointments, because if I don't have many, I still never seem to get to the end of the desk work. It was nearly 8:30 when Lyndon came in, and I was in a filmy dressing gown and all ready for a quiet dinner at home, And he said, what do you say, let's pick up some chili and go out to Bill White's and have dinner. It is hard to say no to him when he is enthusiastic about something and when what he is suggesting is sweet. So I changed in 3 minutes' time into a dress, shouting over my shoulder my objections to us taking the baby. They were not heeded, but I did take out the insurance of asking Miss Cafella to come along in another car right behind us. And out we set, Lyndon carrying little Lynn, and I, at about 9:15, to go visiting. There followed one of the most interesting performances I have ever been a party to. We walked in with Lynn, the best icebreaker in the world, and Bill and June and Vicky and Sia were all lined up to greet us. And somebody brought us a drink and took the chili out of our hands and went to heat it up. They had already eaten dinner. They were just going to sit with us while we had dinner.